Hello, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable, and I just want to take a moment as we open this Bible teaching today, our midweek Bible teaching, Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast, to ask everyone in the listening audience. I live here in the Tampa Bay area and have ministered as the pastor, president, director, pastor, evangelist of the Holy Church of God for going on 50 years. This coming January will mark our 50th anniversary. That dates me and it dates the ministry, but this is not an outdated ministry. Praise God. God is moving by His Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Someone said, Holy Ghost anointed preachers never retire. They just refire. Well, I'm looking to refire today, to keep that fire of God, that one fueled by the Holy Spirit, to keep it burning bright for Jesus. As long as I have strength in my body, I'm able to speak. God has been gracious and merciful. Today I want to pray for those that have been affected so deeply by this hurricane that made landfall just north of Tampa, quite a bit north, but we had a very close call, and we're just thanking the Lord for that it didn't come straight in Tampa Bay, but at the same time, it went in somewhere else. And we just pray today, Heavenly Father, I pray for those that have been hurt and harmed, those that have been so devastated by this storm. Some people have lost, I'm sure, everything in it. And I pray that there is no human life lost. And I pray, Lord, if there was, that there would be Your comfort upon the survivors of this thing. Lord, I thank You today for Your grace and Your mercy. Some states have tornadoes, others have bitter winters, and we have hurricanes. Some places have earthquakes, and there are floods in China and in Europe. We're seeing last day apocalyptic events occur, and we need the covering of Your Spirit over us to keep us safe in these perilous, dangerous days. And I just pray Your grace, Your mercy upon all of Your children and all people, that they may know the greatness and the goodness of our great God today, and they may know about Jesus, His Son, and our Savior. Praise God. All right, we're getting ready to go to the Word of God today. We're going to be talking in this Bible study about the highly exalted Christ, the highly exalted Christ. I want to preface this as you turn to Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 through 11, as the foundation for this teaching today. The highly exalted Christ. You've probably heard the term lowly Jesus, meek and mild, which is biblically true. As our sacrifice to God for our sins, as a lamb dumb before His shears, the Scriptures declare, He opened not His mouth. Now, if you leave your perception of Jesus in that statement and see Him only on that cross, helplessly dying on that cross, helplessly being arrested and beaten almost to death before they even took Him to the cross, and as a lamb dumb before His shearers, as our sacrifice lamb, He opened not His mouth. I'm going to submit to you today, it's a good thing that He didn't open His mouth. Peter tried to defend Him when they came to arrest Him, and he cut off a man's ear. He wasn't aiming to cut off his ear. He was aiming to cut him, to kill him, to cut off his head, to take it off his body. Listen, Jesus said, put up your sword. Put up your sword. If my kingdom, he never ceased to be very God, even though as our sacrifice lamb, He gave Himself over. He humbled Himself. You'll see that in this scripture in just a moment. He said, I could call the legions of Amal, the arm of angels, the armies of heaven to deliver me. If my kingdom were of this world, if I was just thinking about me and not all the people who are going to be lost if I don't pay the sin debt so they can believe on me and be saved. I could call the armies of heaven. In the Old Testament, Jesus is alluded to and ascribed unto him as the Lord of hosts, which means the commander and chief of heaven's armies. And when he returns, dear friend, amen, he's not going to ever ride a donkey again. They will never beat, mock, and murder him again. He will ride a white horse symbolizing victory over every enemy and every foe, and he will rule with a rod of iron. And his name will forever be, as it is written in the book of Revelation, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And here is the issue today, that we do not continue to focus upon Jesus on the donkey, lowly Jesus, meek and mild. And we don't continue to focus as Jesus seemingly, helplessly dying on the cross. Friend, if he did not humble himself and offer himself as a sacrifice in our behalf, make no mistake about it, he let them do this to him. He didn't have to do that. We used to sing a little chorus that said he didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to do it, but he did. He didn't have to die for you and me, but he did. Make no mistake about it. Even though he offered himself and looked like a victim of the hatred of so many people, and the hatred of the Jewish religious leaders in that day, when they cried, "Crucify him, his blood be upon us and our children." And we've watched that play out in the Jewish community down through history. Just and dear friend, Pilate tried to wash his hands. He said, "I don't find any fault in him," but he caved in to the will of this mob crying for his death, his torturous death on the cross. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to do it, but he did. And because he did, God has exalted him. Amen. Listen to Philippians 2, 5 through 11. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." Jesus said he, didn't he? He said, "I and my Father are one." Amen. Hallelujah. And the scripture says that in him, in Christ, dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus is the second person of the Godhead. When God said, let us create man in our image, who was there? Who's he speaking to? It's Christ. It's Jesus who condescended to come down and lay seemingly helpless in a manger, and allow a carpenter and his teenage wife, Virgin Mary, raise him. Amen. Hallelujah. And then to offer himself once again, seemingly helpless on that cross, seemingly hopeless when he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" So that he could cry, "It is accomplished," when the wrath of God was burned out in him, so that we could be justifiably forgiven. Hallelujah. God doesn't sweep our sins under some spiritual rug, and he doesn't conceal them with the blood of Jesus. He remits them. He treats us as if we had never sinned. If we confess our sin, repent of them, and receive Jesus Christ as our Savior. Being in the form of God, he thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, that's why it says, to wit, in Scripture, God was in Jesus Christ, dying for us on the cross, that he might reconcile the world unto himself. But verse 7, look, but he made of himself no reputation, and took on him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Make sure you understand, he didn't have to do it, but thank God he did. Amen. I like the Andre Crouch song that talks about that. I don't know why Jesus loved me. I don't know why that he cared. I don't know why that he would give himself on a cross for me, but I'm glad. I'm so glad he did. It's because he didn't have to do it that causes us to exalt him, to magnify him, to glorify him, to lift him to the highest place. Don't look at him any longer as a victim. He just became that long enough to pay our sin debt, and he will never be a victim again. He is forever the victor, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Because he humbled himself, verse 8 says, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Dear friend, today God exalted Jesus because he humbled himself. And this is the mindset that it says, let this mind be in you. That we would humble ourselves and be obedient to God as Christians, as followers of Jesus. And a follower of Jesus is to follow his example. That's why the Bible said in the New Testament we're to walk even as he walked. We're to be followers of God as dear children, walking in love even as Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He left the splendor of heaven to enter this fallen world. He condescended to come down. He left the glory of heaven to become our Savior. The Son of God became the Son of Man. Someone put it this way, the Son of God became the Son of Man that the sons of men might become the sons of God. Have you got on your shouting shoes today? Amen. What manner of love is this, that he would do this so we could become what he is and what he was, not in terms of divinity, but in terms of relationship to God. He brings many sons into glory. Hallelujah. Now we are, according to Scripture, the sons of God. And if sons of God, we're not divinity. Don't get me wrong. We're not little gods and with a little G or any other G. We're not gods at all. Amen. But we are in the family of God, seated with Christ, accepted in the Beloved. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'd ask you, did you put on your shouting shoes today? We need to get Jesus out of the manger and off the cross. He did lay in the manger. He did go to the cross, but he rose from the dead and is ascended and seated at the right hand of God and is coming back again as King of kings and Lord of lords. He went to the cross as a sacrifice lamb to die in our place. And he deserves this place of honor. He deserves this place, amen, of high exaltation. God exalted him to the highest place in the ancient world. The highest honor a ruler could bestow was to place someone at his right hand. You've heard the term about someone that is someone's right-hand man or right-hand woman, someone right there beside the person in leadership that is working in concert with them. This was the place of honor at the banquet table. This was the place of honor in the judgment hall. Only the emperor's most trusted advisors and friends could occupy this place. The king's right-hand man functioned as a kind of prime minister, as the right-hand man. He could rule, give commands, and pass judgments, all in the name of the king. In the Bible, the highest place in the universe is being seated at the right hand of God. To be seated at the right hand of God is to be given a place of supreme honor and authority. Hallelujah. King of kings, you see, and Lord of lords. I like the way it's put in Psalm 110 and verse 1. The Lord, capital L-O-R-D, speaking of God the Father, said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand. And these words were fulfilled when Jesus ascended to heaven. Over and over again in the New Testament, the message is that the ascended Jesus is seated and sitting at the right hand of God. Amen. Jesus is seated there. This means Jesus has been given power and majesty and honor and authority. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. This means that Jesus has been given a crown and a throne. Jesus is seated, and by virtue of being seated at the right hand of God, this means that Jesus is King and Lord. This means Jesus has been given the highest place, the highest honor in the universe, and should be exalted as such. To the Israelites who lived in Jerusalem at the time of Jesus' death, he didn't seem like a king. After all, he'd just been put to death like a common criminal. And to many people today, he doesn't seem like a king. We watch or listen to the news. It's hard to imagine that Jesus is reigning right here, right now. Listen, all of the things that are occurring in the world, everyone in the world does not acknowledge that Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. And because of that, sin and lawlessness are abounding. But where sin doth abound, His grace doth much more abound. It's because He went to the cross that mercy is offered to such a blaspheming God, instead of God-fearing, God-honoring, a God-hating and God-blaspheming generation. But the unbelief of this world does not take away Jesus' crown and throne. Whether the world acknowledges it or not, He is still King and Lord at the highest place in the universe. You know, the question today is not, is He Lord? That's not the conclusion that we're going to come to and leave it at that. I believe that's the easiest part of this. The question is He truly, as Christians, your Lord and my Lord today? Is He reigning in your heart and reigning as Lord and Master in my heart? Do I have the mind set as an obedient child of God that Jesus did when He humbled Himself and became obedient, even if it meant laying down His very life in a suffering death on the cross? He is Lord, dear friend, in three worlds, and I pray He is Lord in your world today too. Listen, that at the name of Jesus, our scripture teaches that every knee should bow of things in heaven, earth, and under the earth. Number one, He is Lord in heaven. He is exalted. In Revelation 5:9-14, says, and they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, open the seals thereof, for Thou wast slain, and hath redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred, tongue, people, and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign upon the earth. You know why we shall reign? Because he shall reign. Praise God. Verse 11 says, "And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands." I might add to that without adding to the scripture or changing it. Innumerable. Praise God. Listen to what they were saying in verse 12. "With a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive what God has granted him and what we should give him. Receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." This riches here is not about this get-rich gospel, all the stuff. We are. Amen. We are his reward for the cross, the bride of Christ, the body of believers that are truly born again, longing for and looking for his soon return. Listen. "And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him that liveth forever and ever." Make no mistake about it. In heaven, he is exalted. Hallelujah. On earth he is exalted. Every knee doesn't bow now, but one day they will. This true story, when Queen Victoria had just ascended her throne, she went, as is the custom of royalty, to hear the Messiah, Handel's Messiah, rendered. She had been instructed as to her conduct by those who knew, and was told that she must not rise when the others stood at the singing of the Hallelujah chorus. When that magnificent chorus was being sung and the singers were shouting, "Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, for the Lord God Omnipotent reigneth," she sat with great difficulty. It seemed as if she would rise in spite of the custom of kings and queens. But finally, when they came to that part of the chorus, where with a shout, they proclaim him King of Kings, suddenly the young queen rose and stood with bowed head. Queen Victoria realized the truth of what Paul said long ago, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Praise God. One day the proud, the arrogant, the powerful people that would not bow to him and repent of their sin and receive him as Savior, they will bow to him as their judge and their sovereign. They will bow to him. Every knee shall bow. Number three, he's exalted in hell. He's not exalted now on the earth. But I'm telling you, there's not a devil that doesn't know who he is and recognize his supreme authority. Satan himself and all of his minions and cohorts, they all know who Jesus is. And there's no such thing as a doubting devil. The devils believe, the scripture said, and they tremble. Nowhere in the netherworld, beneath the earth, spiritually, somehow, is the name of Jesus not recognized. Devils must bow to him, and death must acquiesce to him, and the grave has no power over him. Hallelujah. I want to just read something in closing. You still got on your shouting shoes today? We need to listen. We're moving into the Christmas season. We go into the Easter season, and we see him on the cross. We see him in the manger, and we need to see him as King of Kings now. He's ascended. He descended to become those things to save us. But now that He has done everything necessary to save us, He will never be like that again. He has ascended, and God has highly exalted Him. Someone said to the artist, "He's the altogether lovely." To the architect, "He's the chief cornerstone." To the astronomer, "He's the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness." To the baker, "He's the living bread." To the banker, "He's the hidden treasure." To the biologist, "He's the life." To the carpenter, "He's the sure foundation." To the doctor, "He's the great physician." To the educator, "He's the great teacher." To the farmer, "He's the sower and the Lord of the harvest." To the florist, "He's the lily of the valley and the rose of Sharon." To the geologist, "He's the rock of ages." To the horticulturist, "He's the true vine." To the judge, "He's the righteous judge." To the juror, "He's the true witness." To the jeweler, "He's the pearl of great price." To the editor, "He's the good tidings of great joy." To the oculist, "He's the light of the eyes." To the philosopher, "He's the wisdom of God." To the printer, "He's the true type." And to the servant, "He's the good master." To the student, "He's the incarnate truth." To the worker or toiler, "He's the one that gives rest." To the sinner, "He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world." And to the Christian, "He's the Son of the living God, the Savior, the Redeemer, King of kings, and Lord of lords." Amen. And the Bible is very clear in Acts 4 and verse 12 that it's only through His name that salvation is offered and can be acquired. "Neither is there salvation in any other," the Scripture declares, "for there is none other name under heaven given unto men whereby we must be saved." Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess, whether in heaven, on earth, or beneath the earth. Today, as a Christian, our knee should be bowed to Jesus. He should be, without question, without any kind of a conversation any further about it, without any argument, He should be the reigning King of our life today. The question isn't, "Is He Lord?" He is, because God has declared Him to be. Hallelujah. The question is He your Lord? Is He my Lord today? Is He the Lord of your life? Are you a follower of God as a dear child of God? Today is the day to humble ourselves and make sure that we are true disciples, followers of Jesus, followers of His example. Let this mind be in us today. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, He died on the cross so He could save you, so He could forgive your sin and mine, so that you could never experience the judgment to come and the wrath of God, that you would spend eternity in heaven and not in hell. There's only two places to spend eternity. According to the Scripture, every person will be resurrected. There's a resurrection of the just that true Christians look forward to. All those who have died in Christ, when Jesus comes, the last trump, the trump of God sounds, the dead in Christ shall rise, and we which are living and remain will be caught up with them to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. But according to Revelation chapter 20, John said, "The sea gave up their dead, and the land gave up their dead, and all who have ever died without Jesus, without forgiveness, will stand before the great white throne judgment And with the Antichrist and the false prophet, the wicked will be cast into the lake of fire forever. This is the second death. Death is not going to end your existence or mine. On the positive side, if you're a Christian, to be apart from the body is to be present with the Lord. Heaven is going to be our home. Hallelujah, forever. But friend, right now, wherever you are, you're going to live forever somewhere. Make sure that you live in heaven with Christ and with those just like you and me who've had their sins forgiven and remitted. Receive this one who came down, hung on the cross in order to save you. Come to Jesus today. Amen and amen.